Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And it's all about financial literacy. As you know, that's what drives us. We don't do politics, or at least not to the degree that we tell you anything other than what you should know. We don't tell you how to vote or who to vote for. We don't tell you what to think. We may tell you what to think about. And primarily what we want you to think about is being financially literate, being an effective consumer. You know, we always start every week the same way by asking the question, are you financially fit? Are you financially fit? And you say, what does that mean? Well, it means, are you making more than you spend, or are you spending more than you make? Do you have 6 months of survival funds and 6 months of emergency funds sitting up, not to be touched by anyone, not even you? It's there in case something happens, and you know you can meet your expenses for at least 6 months in terms of a survival fund. And an emergency fund is different. That's for those things that always happen that we have no idea that it's going to happen. So I want you to make sure you have those set aside. Don't touch them. You can invest them. You can do anything that doesn't endanger them. And then finally, I want you to save at least 5% of your income every month. Whatever you make, put aside 5%. Again, put that in another savings. That's for you. You can play with that if you need to. But 5% of everything you make each month. Okay, that's being financially fit. And that's what we're taking care of in terms of telling you and explaining to you what you need to do. Now, I've taken care of the financial aspects of it, but what happens, the surprising stat, folks, at least to me, and I'm in that age group, as baby boomers grow older, an astounding 10,000 will turn 60 every day for the next 19 years. What? Yeah. 10,000 every day will turn 60 and thereafter older. So let's take care of the mental part of that. And we do that by meeting someone who I think you probably have heard of. Ian Brown is a well-known author. He's authored several books, and they have done very well. But his newest book is called 60, A Diary of My 61st Year, The Beginning of the End or the End of a Beginning. Now, his uncensored account of his 61st year and his investigation of the many changes, physical, mental, and emotional, it comes to all of us as we age. So why did he write the book? What was he trying to do? Was he trying to ameliorate the feeling of growing older? I don't know, but let's find out. Ian, welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you on the program.
Well, it's very nice of you to have me.
Have you felt better now that you've gotten this off your chest? Now that you've said
I have to say I have, yes. jokingly and seriously.
Right. It feels better.
Yes, I think it allowed me to be actually more, by keeping a diary,
yeah.
I was able to sort my way through, you know, there are pretty much two approaches that I had, and from my research that most people have to getting to this age, you know, you either go into the woe is me school of thought,
mm-hmm.
You know, death is coming, blah, 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 what's the point, et cetera, or you go into the, to heck with death, I'm never going to die. So you can, on the one hand, you have depression, and on the other hand, you have delusion. And I was, you know, pinging back and forth between those with every day. You know, I'd wake up one morning and I'd be, oh, God. And the next morning, all right, I'm ready. And it was so exhausting, banging back and forth between them, that I thought, if I keep a diary,
yeah.
And track the details of what actually happens as opposed to what's supposed to happen or what other people tell me is supposed to happen.
Right, right.
If I actually concentrate on what actually happens and make a diary of it, then maybe I can't stop time, but maybe I can slow it down a little and shape it a bit and become more conscious of the process.
That part I agree. I mean, listen, you can't stop. And I love some of the things you talk about, and, you know, is that you lost a decade or two in the process because you weren't really conscious of what's happening as you grow older. Now, as I said at the show, you know, we talk about financial literacy and the freedom of knowing that you're not worried about things because you've taken care of your finances, and it's so important. But once you get past that, then the other part really does play a game. And I can say that, folks, I'm a boomer, so I know what it feels like being 60 or older. And you have a lot of things on your mind. So my first real question as I read through your book was this. If, in fact, you could have read today, what you know now, that you could have read something 30 years ago that would have been helpful, what would you have read? Any idea?
Well, not to be too practical about this, but I
don't say your own book, Ian. Don't say one of your own books.
No, that would be the last thing I would read. You know, I know what's in them.
Right.
No, I think I would have read, frankly, a very good and engaging book about financial. How to be financially more secure would have been I have a career. I have a good career. I make a good salary. My wife works. She makes a good salary.
Yeah.
But we have everybody has their expenses and everything. We have some of which are unavoidable. And the lack of security. And I'm a writer, so that's not like being an investment banker. So those insecurities, I would say they account for a good 25% of the nights that I wake up, as many, 60 plus people do.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
In the middle of the night going,
that's right.
All sorts of things beset you, but I wish that wasn't one of them. So I wish I'd read a book about a really good book about personal finance.
Well, folks, you heard that from a great writer, from someone who's successful, and I've said it to you all the time. Get your finances in order. Now, we're not going to sit here and coop on that all for the next couple of segments, but I want to just make you understand that I think there's so much richness in the book, and written in a wonderful way. When we come back, we'll have Ian Brown, our author, tell us more about the book that he wrote, why he wrote it, what's in it, and why you should read it. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
I'm pleased to have on set with us the author of the new book, 60, A Diary of My 61st Year, by the writer Ian Brown. If that sounds familiar to you, you may have known him or his name from The Boy in the Moon, which was a New York Times best book of the year and winner of several awards and some other things that he's written about. But this book touches us in an interesting place because the thing I think I like about it, and I'm still reading it, is you're just very brutal and honest about the feelings. I mean, you don't hold anything back here.
I thought it because it's a diary, I can actually tell the truth. I mean, one of the difficulties of getting older is that there's so much cant and received wisdom on the subject that we're constantly forced away from what we actually think and feel, as opposed to what what we're supposed to think and feel.
Yeah.
I remember the first time it occurred to me that I was getting older. I work in a newspaper. We have these story meetings, and I had just finished reading this book about early voyages around the tip of South America. Early maritime explorations at Cape Horn, and I was sitting in this meeting waiting to pitch my stories, and a young guy jumped up and he said he really wanted to write a story about gay porn, about homosexual pornography, because he had seen a lot of it and he thought it was a very interesting thing. And so I said, oh, Cape Horn. I love Cape Horn. It's fantastic. And he looked at me and he said, I wouldn't have pegged you. I said, oh, well, come on, what's not to like? The towering masts and et cetera, et cetera. And this went on for like 5 minutes. And finally somebody said, he's saying gay porn and you think he's saying Cape Horn. And I realized my hearing was going at that point. And I started reading about getting older and keeping this diary. And, we think it's just happening to us, but in fact, you know, aging is something that begins, you know, the brain has reached its maximum and begun its hopefully long decline at 28. Your skin starts to sag and collapse at 35. By 40, your bones are turning to ash. And we all, you know, we're aging from the moment we're born. And yet I can go out and I can look at a guy, and I'm 62 now.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
I can look at a guy who's 32 years old, and if he is fractionally balder than I am, I can actually look at him and say, oh, look at that poor guy. He's so much closer to the end than I am. this incredible capacity deny it is amazing.
It is. And we check ourselves, don't we? I mean, you're always checking it. Am I still okay? Do I still have it? You know, you have to. And as hard as I try not to do that, I'm like, well, wait a minute. I wonder, is something, am I slipping here? I mean, you really go through that process, and we really don't, we have no measuring stick, for instance.
Well, we have no measuring stick. And I think the reason we do it is, and this is something that becomes clearer to you as you get older, is that we really have no control over what happens to us physically. I mean, you talk about, you know, preparing all the stuff you can prepare, financial readiness, you know, getting your affairs in order, all, you know, having a job that you like and can continue to do. But physically, I mean, you can diet, you can eat properly, you can, you know, do crossword puzzles till the cows come home to think you're keep your brain in order. But ultimately, we really have no control over what hits us and when it hits us and how we will respond to it. And I think knowing deep down, certainly unconsciously and sometimes consciously, that you have no control, it forces you into a more, I guess, a kind of humbler position, maybe a less aggressive position, but a more alert position, and that really, really changes things. But it's that coming face to face, the fact that you have no control, that makes you want to either run away from it, you know, go to bed forever, or deny that it exists.
That's right. You know? That's right. I just, you know, I found out I'm not bigger than life. Life is actually bigger than me. My guest is Ian Brown. His book is 60, A Diary of My 61st Year. You have got to read this book, folks. It's a great look at where we're all headed or where we may already be. We'll be back with the last segment on this with Ian. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Thank you. To Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors are the Defense Credit Union Council and the CUNA. We thank them for their continued support of the program dedicated to making all of us financially fit. And if there's a topic you'd like to hear us talk about, send me a note to hffradio.com, and I promise we'll respond to you and maybe even take you up on your offer. It's always fun for us to make sure that we are giving you your just due and that you have an input to the show. The Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves and their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, to support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. And as part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves, set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. The Defense Credit Union Council, those in the military understand what it means to them to have them handy on almost every military installation around the world. And you don't have to be in the military to save. As I always indicate every week, you can save, you should save 5% of everything that you make every day, every month, every week, and you'll be glad that you did. We're talking with Ian Brown, who is a well-known, as a respected author of several books. His latest is called 60, A Diary of My 61st Year. And I got to tell you, you know what, Ian, the thing that I've got to get to, because It's always been my mind. Do I have the desire? You know, can I function? Yes, I'm talking sexually and lovingly as I did. And when does that change? Was that part of your introspection here?
Oh yeah, sure. It's part of everybody's, I think, and it's a very embarrassing or private or intimate subject. I think the weird thing is how desire changes after the age of 60. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody says, "Oh well, you know, it ends. You know, you're still desire, but you can't do anything about it. It's like being caught in purgatory or something like that." Or you know, women say, you know, that they feel invisible when they turn 50,
yeah.
And many men I know say that the same thing, and I would agree with them. But the strain, and you think that. And part of it is you think, well, I'm going to be free of desire as well. You know, I'm no longer going to be led around by that tyrant, Mr. Happy. You know, I will be able to think for myself finally with my brain rather than some other part of my anatomy.
Right.
The strange thing is, I think, that it doesn't go away after 60. What actually happens is that it becomes, you know, more Catholic in the small C sense of that word. It becomes more all-encompassing.
Yes.
So, you know, before, you know, I was drawn to women like my wife, right? My wife is a sort of tall, slim brunette, and mm-hmm. I've always mm-hmm. had a thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
But now you could walk in, you know, down the street wearing a propeller beanie, and I would think, oh, that's
yeah.
interesting, because the scope of your it's not as urgent as it used to be,
yeah.
It's not as reliable as it used to be, and it's not as sexual as it used to be, but it is more curious than it used to be, and it's and many many more things, kinds of people. Types of minds, you know, are of interest now.
That's right. You broaden the scope of what you're interested in terms of the physical, the sexual. Everything kind of changes in terms of what your curiosity is about and what turns you on. It's very interesting. It's a different kind of approach, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other interesting thing about it is, you know, when I first started keeping this diary and I was putting down stuff like this in the diary, I was thinking nobody's going to publish this. I'm not sure I can bring myself to publish it. But more importantly, no one's going to want to read it because it's too private. I mean, the fact that I find the way somebody laughs, you know, intrigues me in a way that it wouldn't have 10 years ago, or, you know, the stuff I see that moves me. I went to visit my brother who lives in north of Boston on the water, and I went to a beach, and I was walking down the beach, and I kept seeing, you know, like kids playing in the sand and people talking on their parents talking on their cell phones up higher, and all this stuff kept moving me, you know.
I do know. I know what you mean. Listen, if you live long enough, you understand. Ian, I could talk to you for hours. I'm out of time. Would you come back and see us again and talk?
Anytime.
Okay.
Anytime.
It's Ian Brown, the book 60, A Diary of My 61st Year. You can find it at better bookstores, folks, and I encourage you to read it. We'll be back with more, another author who's also come to issues from a little different point of view. All of that straight ahead here on Home and Family Finance.
You be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
You know, my engineer sent me over some a suggestion for a topic based on a book that has just been published and released, and it is written by someone that you probably wouldn't know the name. Maybe some of you would, and I don't mean to demean in that sense, but Aaron Marcus is an actor, and if you saw him, if you saw the picture of him, you know right away who he is, because you see him. He's what they call a character actor. He can play different, many parts. He's been in Netflix, House of Cards, the AMC, Halden Catch Fire, Fox, Gotham. And the moment you see him, oh, yeah, I know that guy. The title of his book, by the way, which is very simple and very direct, is How to Become a Successful Actor and Model. Now, wait a minute. Before you go running sideways, he is the guy that's going to tell you the problems that can be associated with it if you get hooked up with the wrong person. And by the way, he's joining us via Citrix GoToMeeting to talk about all of this. Aaron Marcus, welcome to Home and Family Finance.
It's great to be here, Paul. Thanks.
It's my pleasure. Yes, I have been approached by someone. I have three children. All of them, I think, should be on television. All of them are models. All of them are movie stars from my perspective. But none of them are doing it today, and they're all grown. So, you know, the chances are. But somebody on the street or in the mall says, you know, your child has that look, and it can be a star. And I want to believe them. And I think many, many people do as well, Aaron. But how do I avoid getting ripped off this way? Any way to avoid that?
Sure. Well, I mean, the most important thing is having an understanding of the industry. And look, there are people that will find you out in the mall, on the street, and in the supermarket, and, you know, tell you, hey, you've got the look, or your kids have the look, and that's fine. What you have to understand is, like with any other business, there are no guarantees. And anybody that's promising you stardom or promising you work simply isn't being truthful with you. I have booked over 1,200 jobs so far, and there's no guarantee that I'm ever going to book another job again. So what you want to do is certainly take, you know, people's information, that's fine. But then you have to do a lot of research. And if you want, we can talk more about some of the specific things that you want to do to make sure that people you're dealing with are legitimate.
Well, first I want to do is formally introduce you to the show. Welcome to Home and Family Finance. I'm pleased and delighted to have you. I'm honored to have you on the program. And as you point out, there are no guarantees. And you've got to be careful. You know, we are so gullible when it comes to our children, Aaron. We all think our kids are superstars in some form or fashion. And if somebody reinforces that by coming up to us and saying the same thing unsolicited, it's easy to believe it. And then you start getting into some dollars. I mean, when should you be careful? What are the signs that say, hey, watch out here, this may not be so good for you?
Sure. Well, there are a bunch of things. And look, there are legitimate scouts that are wandering the world and are trying to find people. So one of the ways that you can distinguish between the real scouts and the people who are running scams, if someone wants to represent you or represent your children, the only fees that you will be paying up front would be to be on the agent's website. All agents have websites today, and you will pay typically an annual fee to be on their website. But if they charge you for representation, that's a problem. The way that legitimate agents make their money is by taking a percentage of any booking that you get. And typically in the modeling world, it's going to be 20% of a commission fee from a booking. If you are a non-union actor, you're not a member of SAG-AFTRA, then you will be paying a 20% commission for acting jobs. And if you are a union member, then you will be paying a 10% commission fee. That's one of the things that they're asking for upfront fees. Mm-hmm. Once again, aside from being on their website. The other is if they tell you that you have to take classes with them, that would concern me. Mm-hmm. And not to say that there aren't a lot of unaffiliated with the union agencies who offer classes, and they will bring in some really talented instructors. And that's great to offer, but if they tell you, I am not going to represent you unless you take my class, that would concern me.
Okay, so a couple of things here, folks, understand. First of all, you can pay to be on their website. And when we're talking about a fee for that, what are we talking, something nominal? I mean, we're not, it shouldn't it be, go ahead.
Sure, that's a great question. Yeah, it can be anywhere from $75 to maybe $150 a year to be on an agent's website.
Okay.
And in today's time, I'm sorry, what were you going to ask?
No, I was saying yes, go ahead. I'm just agreeing, I'm hearing you.
Because that's the way that agents market their talent today. They used to produce, a lot of them used to produce agency books. And when I first started in New York, my agent charged $650 for a page to be in their modeling book.
Okay.
And then they would ship that book to photographers and advertising agencies. Today, nobody does books. Everybody has a website. So yes, that is a very legitimate upfront cost.
Okay. And then beyond that, if in fact they decide that you are somebody that that they're going to submit and they get a job for you, if you are not a member of the union, you pay 20% of whatever the fee that you're going to make to him, or 10% if you are actually in the union.
Correct. Those are the numbers as of today with the union. It could change at some point, but right now, if you are a SAG-AFTRA member, you book a job, you pay your agent a 10% commission fee. The other thing that would concern me is if the agent requires you to use their photographer for all of your photos. And look, it is crucial that you do spend money putting together the right materials. If you are an actor, you want to get acting work, you have to create what we call a headshot.
Okay.
And then you will have a resume on the back. It's an 8x10 photo. In my book, I mean, I go through a whole chapter just teaching
okay.
you.
Okay, and let me talk about that book, too, a little bit. Let me talk about that book. When we come back, I'm going to, first of all, we'll repeat the name of the book, How to Become a Successful Actor and Model. We will tell you where to get that. And we will also ask Aaron to tell us when you should really start seriously saying, okay, you know, maybe my kid has a chance or maybe I have a chance. Important questions that all of us need an answer to. We'll be right back here on Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Okay, let's be real, folks. In the acting and modeling industry, unfortunately, there are young people. Actors, would-be actors and models are swindled out of thousands of dollars because they make decisions based on their heart and not on solid information. But for 30 years at least that long, and that's who you want, somebody that has that kind of history. Mr. Marcus has that kind of history. He has been a full-time actor and commercial model, modeling for real-looking people. To date, he's been booked over 1,200 times. He's taught thousands of people the best way to get started. He knows how to avoid scams, and he knows how you can find agents and get work in the industry. But you must be willing to use your head. And in his book, How to Become a Successful Actor and Model, that's the whole idea, according to Aaron Marcus, who joins us. Aaron, where can we find your book?
Sure. The best place to order it, you can go straight to my website, howtoactandmodel.org. And you also receive two great directories when you order it there, or you can also go to Amazon as well. And Paul, I have to say, you mentioned something that was so important that very few people realize. People making decisions with their heart. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because, you know, if you're going to buy a car and somebody, you know, gives you a contract and you're going to be, you know, signing, you're going to know exactly what you're signing. You will have done research.
Yeah.
For some reason, in our industry, in the acting and commercial modeling industry, a lot of people do make decisions based on their heart and not their brain. And even though some people might be thinking, you know, I know this person's asking me for thousands of dollars, you know, upfront fees for representation. I know it doesn't quite sound right, but this might be my one chance. So I'm going to do it. And that's why you want to get the right information. You are starting a business. This is your own business. And if you were starting any other kind of business out there, you would have done a lot of research.
That's
you would have
absolutely
done some internships, you know. But for some reason, a lot of people think that they're just going to be discovered and things are just going to happen. So, yes, you do have to be very careful.
Aaron, it's so exciting. It's exciting. You want to do it. I mean, it's a dream to be an actor, to be on a silver screen and to be a celebrity. And I think that just kind of blinds people to the reality realities that, hey, wait a minute, as you say, you're about to go into business and you have to have some business sense about what you're doing.
Absolutely. And you need to get the information before you make decisions and potentially lose a lot of money. And it just, you were just talking about scams a few minutes ago. Without spending much time with it, there is a really good scam going on right now. I've witnessed it because I've gotten these emails and they're done online. The short version is this. Somebody will contact you. Hey, I saw your photos. You've got a great look. Mm-hmm. We want to use you in an ad campaign throughout Europe. What they will wind up doing is we are going to send our photographer to you, and we're going to send you a check. And I think the amount was around $15,000. Part of that $15,000 would also cover the expense of the photographer and the makeup artist who we are going to send to you. So you go to the bank, cash it, you pay the photographer and the makeup artist, and then a couple days later, you find out that that check bounces.
Wow.
And you are out of $5,000 that was just spent paying off the photographer and the makeup artist. And I was able to ask these people some very specific questions, and I knew right away this was a scam, but I'm telling you, they were good, and people know how to push your buttons, and they know how to light you up and get you to do things that ultimately don't make sense, but once again, you think this is your one chance.
And absolutely. You know, I mean, it's just, you kind of put You put caution aside. You're thinking, this is my one chance to make it, or for my kid to make it, and I just can't. I've got to go with this. But you have to check. You have to stop and make sure you go back through the process to make sure you're dealing with a reputable person. And again, from your perspective, how do I ensure that the person that I'm dealing with is reputable?
One of the things that you can do, if you do sit down with the agent, you know, if they do call you in, and by the way, you know, I don't want to make it seem like the world is just filled with all these horrible scams. There are some, and you do have to be careful, but there are, you know, thousands and thousands of great industry professionals who run their business in an honorable way. But so what you want to do is you sit down with the agent, and there's a whole list of questions you want to ask. You know, what are there any fees? Do you have any recommendations for photographers to put together the right materials? Because, like I said before, all actors need to have a headshot and resume. If you want to do commercial modeling, which, like you said, is modeling for real-looking people, and this is true for adults, for seniors, for infants,
yeah.
Where you can honestly and believably portray the pharmacist, the teacher, the student, the doctor, the
right.
lawyer, all those kinds of people. And you will need to create some photos in order to give your agent materials to promote you.
Okay.
So you ask the agent, you know, who are some of the photographers that you would recommend, and you check out their websites and you talk with them. And once again, if you go to howtoactandmodel.org, I list over 400 agents there. And these are agents, I don't work with them all, but
yeah.
I vetted them all, and they all seem like legitimate agents to me. I can't guarantee it, but it's a great way to at least get names of agents
right.
throughout the United States that could be helpful to
you.
Well,
can I count on Craigslist? Because some of folks are doing exactly that. Does that legitimize them, or do I have to be careful if they're offered through Craigslist?
Yeah, that's a great point. And with Craigslist, you have to be, like with anything else, very careful. There are legitimate jobs. You can go to the gigs section of Craigslist, and you will find people who want to hire actors and models.
Okay, hold that point.
For legitimate jobs.
Hold that point, because I want to get back to it. It's too important not to be able to spend time with it and get your thoughts about that. And then I'm going to talk to you about, getting shots of my kid and how far I should go. It's okay to get the shots, but how far do I go with those folks? This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. I'd My guest is Aaron Marcus. He's written a book that you should get if you think that you or your children ought to be in Hollywood, that you've got what it takes. How to become a successful actor and model. How do you find these people? How do they find you? And how do you know when they're legitimate? And we were talking about Craigslist, Aaron. That is something that people sometimes think because it's Craigslist, that somehow legitimizes the people that are there. But that's not necessarily the case, is it?
Right. And what I was saying was that there are some legitimate jobs there, but you have to be extremely careful. And whenever you are finding work on your own, and in my book, I do talk about how you can actually market yourself to photographers, to advertising agencies, and try to get work on your own. But for a place like Craigslist, if you do book a job, I highly recommend you bring somebody with you. You want to check out if it's a photographer, check out their website first. Make sure that it looks like a legitimate photographer. And what I mean by that is, you know, are there photos on there that kind of make you cringe and think, you know what, I don't think I really want to be associated with this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And if everything seems to check out, still bring somebody with you, because you do have to be careful today. And like when you were talking earlier before about, you know, being discovered and working in Hollywood, let me just tell you that most of the work that's happening out there is not necessarily in LA and New York.
Right.
Yes, most of the major TV shows and films are taking place in New York, but I can also tell you that cities like Atlanta, it is booming. It's the third largest market in the United States for film and TV.
Wow.
And people would be surprised to find out that even in small markets, you can find commercial modeling work. You can find TV commercials. And so don't dismiss the area that you live in and think that you have to pick up and move to a major market to get work.
Okay, but how do you find them if I'm in a smaller market? Do I look in a newspaper? Where do they advertise or promote themselves?
Sure. So it depends on the kind of project we're talking about. If it's a film, a feature film, I would go to the state's Film Commission office website, and they will list what projects are coming to town. They will list who the casting directors are. So maybe you could do some extra work on that particular project. No matter where you live, you can find advertising agencies. There's an association, AAAA.org, American Association of Advertising Agencies. Find the list of ad agencies in your area and start sending them photos for TV commercials, maybe for radio spots if you're interested in doing voiceover work, or even TV commercials. That's just one way. You can go to the Chamber of Commerce and find names of advertising agencies, and you can do a Google search for commercial photographers in your area, or go to an organization like ASMP.org, American Society of Media Photographers, and you will find a list of photographers in your area as well.
Okay, and I know rates are changing, they're different, but if you want to have a headshot done and get some pictures, what are we talking about in a range? We're not talking in the thousands of dollars, are we?
Shouldn't be paying that much.
Okay.
You could, but you shouldn't be paying that much. So that's a really good point. You can do anything from trying to get things free. If you happen to know exactly how to put together a great headshot, you've prepared, you've gotten the right emotions, you know what wardrobe, you know what kind of background, and you just need a good photographer, you could try going to a local college or university, go to the art department, see if they have photography classes, and find students. However, to make sure, actually, I shouldn't say to make sure, because you never know, but if you're going to be hiring a photographer, a professional photographer, you're looking at anywhere between $150 and maybe $500 for a strong headshot, and you might even be able to get a couple of other photos, commercial shots in there as well. It's all dependent on the location that you're in and how much work the photographer has done. But I would say anywhere between $150, $500, $600 range.
Aaron, let me just ask you. Aaron Marcus is our guest today. The book, as we say, is How to Become a Successful Actor and Model, and he is of all of the ones, House of Cards, Halton, Catch Fire, Gotham. Which one? What's your most favorite thing that you've done?
Well, you know, that's kind of like asking who's your favorite child. It's a tough one. Honestly, I love to work. You know, whether I'm doing an ad for, you know, hemorrhoid cream or, you know, I'm working with an Academy Award winner like, you know, Ellen Burstyn on House of Cards. It's great. I just love working.
Good for you.
So,
and you're good at what you do.
To work with some really great people.
You're good at what you do, my friend. Absolutely. And we appreciate you taking time to join us. Again, Aaron Marcus is with the How to Become a Successful Actor and Model. You can find his book again. It's which website?
Sure. The best one is howtoactandmodel.org.
There you go. Okay. Come back and see us again, would you?
I would love to anytime.
Thank you, folks, for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. I learned a thing or two. I'll be back same time, same place, right here. See you then.